Here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. He's Paul Dottino. I am John Schmelk. Giants training camp is underway. We already have one practice in the books. Another one gets started in about 2 hours or so outside here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, by the way. Today's practice is free and open to the public. Feel free to come down, hang out, have a good time. 2 o'clock is when it begins. 2:30 is when they really get into the meat of practice and when the fun starts. So make sure you come on down and have some fun with us out here in New Jersey. Paul, how are you doing?
Very well, John. You know, the weather has really cooperated.
Yes.
Because when the players reported the other day, right in the middle of what they were going through in their conditioning drills, a nasty downpour ensued, and Coach Coughlin had to run all the players inside to the field house so they could finish their drills. But since that time, the sun has come out, and it's been just dynamite, you know, over the last couple of days and a half.
A little toasty. I'm sure a lot of the big guys would prefer it to be 81 instead of 91. The humidity is not as bad as it was.
No.
But it's been sunny. The weather looks great. It doesn't look like there's going to be a chance of a rainout for about a week. Looking ahead at the forecast, again, who knows? Things change. It's the weather. But so far, everything has gone really well with training camp with the Giants. And let's start with the news today, Paul. Last night, the Giants announced the rumored acquisition of James Jones. Is it official? He is a member of the Giants. You just heard from James Jones. I retweeted a brief 1 minute, 30 seconds of a media availability he had earlier today talking at the podium to Giants reporters. And he's a 9-year veteran. He's a guy you can tell. He's been around. He speaks well. He's smart. And he got asked about 3 different times about what he expects his role to be. And he says, guys, I'm not worried about even making the team. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to put my best foot forward, and whatever happens, happens.
You know, the interesting part about this, and I compared him to somebody else that the Giants had some years ago, Dominic Hixon, because he's professional, he's respectful, he seems humble and modest, but at the same time confident in his abilities and is very willing to prove and earn whatever reps he's able to get.
Right. He's also said, though, that his reason for coming here has to do a lot with the success he had in Green Bay.
Yes.
And what he did in Green Bay.
Coach McAdoo.
Yes. And, well, what James Jones did in Green Bay as well. The success James Jones had in Green Bay surpasses anything Dominic Hixon did as a wide receiver when he was here. But personality-wise, you're right, very similar. And, you know, Jones basically talked about how he spoke to McAdoo before he made the decision to come here. The terminology is virtually identical to what it was in Green Bay. It's a system that he called friendly to wide receivers that he's comfortable in. And I think James Jones made a calculation in his mind. He goes, look, I'm an older wide receiver. I'm 30 years old. I want to extend my NFL career. What's my best chance of extending my NFL career? It's going to a place where I had the most success under an offensive coordinator I know with a quarterback that's had a ton of success. And I think he could fit in as the team's 4th or 5th wide receiver, depending on how they decide to go.
Oh, he's a top 4. There's no doubt in my opinion. I don't even think he's a 5. He's
well,
a top 4.
He and Dwayne Harris will compete. Dwayne Harris would argue with you.
Dwayne Harris is a 5.
Dwayne Harris is more of the, you know, I guess, but Dwayne Harris would argue with you.
You know, Jones last year.
And the
averaged,
reason, by the way, I'm sorry, don't interrupt.
Right.
The reason I call Dwayne Harris the 4.
Specials.
Is because you know he's on the team because of specials.
Right. I get that.
You know that.
I get that.
Correct.
Last year, Jones' career-high 73 catches, but only about 9 yards a catch, which was a career low, 6 touchdown receptions as well. He said he thought he had an okay year last season.
See, I'm not going to go nuts about the shorter passes because if you look at that Raiders offense, nobody was catching deep passes down the field. I think they kept it very basic with Derek Carr with a lot of short throws.
They did, and of course, you don't want to get fooled by Raiders receiving stats because Brandon Myers actually put up 1 good year as a tight end a few years back, and we saw what happened when he came to this offense. So, you know, if you want to take that with a grain of salt, you can. But see, I look more at, again, what he did in Green Bay in Coach McAdoo's system. And what I like about what James Jones said when asked, why is this receiver-friendly offense so good for you? He said, because you line up, you see it, and you play. You don't get bogged down in a lot of other stuff. And, you know, I don't think I'd ever heard it expressed that way before. Well, last year when McAdoo came here, John, it was his first year in the Giants offense. And I don't necessarily remember any of the Giants receivers talking about it that way, other than it was less complicated than Coach Gilbride's system.
Right.
That we heard. But Jones was very, very simplistic about it. He said, you line up, you see it, and you do it. And you know what? If you've got the skills, there's no reason why you can't do it.
And remember, he is a bigger wide receiver. He's pretty thick. He can use his body to get open. He was a deep threat in Green Bay. And I think what I like about Jones is he compared this Giants wide receiver core to what he had when he was in Green Bay. He goes, he was asked about what is it like being in there with Beckham and Cruz, and he goes, well, when I was in Green Bay, I was in a room with Donald Driver, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Jennings, and JerMichael Finley. So he's like, I'm used to this. Yeah. And everyone helps everybody else get
Greg
open.
Jennings,
and yeah. it's a great deal. It's a great way to move forward. And I think he believes he can find a niche here and compete. And I'll tell you what, when you look to fill that fifth wide receiver spot on the roster, again, I'm assuming Dwayne Harris is on, which I think is a fair assumption considering the contract he got in the offseason.
Sure.
It's going to be James Jones and Corey Washington. I mean, that's it. That's the battle for five. I mean, they're very similar wide receivers. They both play outside. Neither guy's a slot guy, in my opinion. They're very similar, and we've talked about this a million times before, Paul. How is Corey Washington going to set himself apart? He's got to get better on special teams, and in
yes.
the first practice, he was on the first team special teams punt protection unit, I believe, from looking at it.
Yeah, but the difference here is that Washington is more of a vertical threat and a red zone threat, and
he
Jones, who had been a vertical threat on occasion in his career in Green Bay, to me, at the moment, based on what we saw last season, was more of a possession guy now.
Yeah, but I'm not going to call him that because of the Raiders' offense.
Well, I know, and I understand that. But see, if you go back and you look at his numbers,
yes.
he's only averaged more than 14 yards a catch twice in his career, once as a rookie, and then back in 2011.
Yeah, but he's more than 13 yards per catch every year except for
between
one.
13 and 14.
Yeah.
Between
and
13
and 14.
Right,
he's above 13 and a half.
I consider you more of a vertical deep threat if you're over 14.
To me,
that's the difference. Because
he's right on the edge.
Between 10 and 14, to me, is a medium range receiver.
Let me put it this way.
After 14, when you start approaching 15, now you're a deep threat vertical guy. Some guys do 16, 17, 18.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think, and I'll put it to you this way then. If the Giants decide to keep six wide receivers, and that's a big if, okay? If they decide,
it's the max.
Obviously. If they decide to keep six wide receivers, is there any chance that receivers five and six are Jones and Washington based on their special teams contributions? Only if Washington can develop in that area,
well,
right?
See, it's my opinion that the five are already in stone. Jones is going to be four because I think he's going to get on the field before Harris in an offensive set.
So you think he's a cinch to make the team,
right? I think if he's healthy and goes out there this afternoon and shows he can run, unless somebody gets hurt, I think he's a lock to be a top four because contrary
okay.
to what he says about having to prove himself, and I do think that he's being honest, I also believe the Giants don't bring him in unless they believe he's a top four guy.
Okay. That's
just an opinion. Again, folks, strictly going on opinion.
Obviously.
Here.
Yeah.
So if he's going to get on the field before Harris in a wide receiver set, then he's the four. But you're right. Harris is on the team.
Correct.
There's no way he's not.
A special team.
He's the five.
And if you're keeping six wide receivers, the last guy has to be a special teams player.
Now, see, I don't know about that. And the reason I don't know about that is because you're never going to dress six guys on a Sunday. You will never do it. You will never dress the sixth receiver on a Sunday.
That's a good point.
You're going to dress four a lot of times. Sometimes you might dress five if somebody's nicked up going into a game.
Let me ask you this.
You will never dress six.
If you dress five, does your fifth guy have to contribute on special teams?
Well, now, that's where on a week-to-week basis you will have to decide your configuration.
Right, because I'm not sure what he does on specials, James Jones.
No.
I don't think he does anything.
No. So if you're talking about week-to-week, that's one question. If you're talking about the 53, it's another question entirely.
That's fair.
Which is why Jeremy Davis, Preston Parker, and Corey Washington, in my mind, are all on notice because there is one more spot on the 53 to be had. That's the number six wide receiver spot.
See, to me, if two of those guys play exceptionally well, I could see them keeping two of them over Jones since they're younger and developing players. And you know what James Jones is. He's as we mentioned, this is his ninth year in the league.
I think James Jones, if the Giants didn't tell him you got a very strong chance to be in the top four, if James Jones didn't believe that he himself was going to be in the top four, he wouldn't have come here, McAdoo or not.
I agree with that. I think that's a fair point. And look, I think James Jones is an excellent acquisition. I think he's a good wide receiver. Like you said, I'm not going to let what happened in Oakland last year, you know, change my opinion of him. You go back to 2012 in Green Bay, the guy had 14 touchdowns that year. And then he had 800 yards, almost a 14 receiving average, and three touchdowns in 2013 before he went to Oakland.
You will recall last spring when the Giants had drafted Beckham, I had said the Giants should go after James Jones.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why I felt that was because of McAdoo. The other part of the reason I felt that was because as we progressed through the spring, we saw that Beckham was not on field.
Yeah.
And they need a depth of wide receiver.
Yeah.
This was a guy I had targeted last year. Now, the Giants are a year late. That's okay. Heads up, though. I gave it to you. He's now here.
201-939-4513. You could talk about James Jones or anything else New York Giants. We've had one day of practice. We could talk about that. Cruz, Beckham, they're both on the practice field. We should mention that real quickly. They played about two or three plays of each period yesterday.
Right.
Cruz did not have a catch. Did go down to get a ball. Looked good out there. Stayed healthy, most importantly. Beckham caught a couple passes. Zigzagged one down the middle. Prince could have taken him down if he wanted to, but obviously you're not tackling
right.
in practice. Prince made that clear today that next time we'll make it clear that he stopped Beckham before he goes to the touchdown. Of course, not doing anything too physical. Prince was joking around. But obviously a very good day for those two, having them out there and rotating him in and out. That was great. The offensive line was out there. Jeff Schwartz played every snap in his first day, which is very important. That was good.
Yeah.
A couple notes on defense at safety. Nat Burhe, given that he missed much of the spring, was kind of pushed towards the back
Correct.
Of the depth chart. He's going to have to work his way back up. Landon Collins and Cooper Taylor were the two safeties out there. As expected, the three linebackers were Kennard, JT Thomas, and John Beeson.
Yep.
That's not a surprise. Kerry Wynn was the one starting defensive end
with
from Robert Ayers.
Yep.
So that was the configuration there. Otherwise, nothing much else to note.
And by the way, as we've told you several times on the show, John, Kerry Wynn, one of the most visible guys here during the offseason, busted his butt.
Yep.
And I have a feeling that may have gone into running with the ones yesterday. Tom is big on that.
No question. All right, let's get to it, folks. Your calls for the next 50 minutes or so, 40 minutes or so, until 1:30 when we got to go out to practice. 201-939-4513. Dom in New Jersey called in first. He's been waiting the longest. Dominic, what's up?
How's it going, Paul? How's it going, John?
Hi. Right. What's up, Dom?
Excited for football. I mean, it's about time, right?
Oh, but you know, we can finally see guys on the field outside doing some real work, and you're not restricted by all the OTA rules. It's great.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And I actually called in a couple weeks ago, and I said I was going to wait till the first week of training camp in order to give my my prediction on the season.
Oh, what do you got?
Before I get there, I want to actually talk about James Jones real quick. Actually, I really like the guy. I mean, yeah, he was – I agree with what you said, John, how he's he was – best receiving, but then once he was on Green Bay, I remember him making some spectacular catches.
Like a lot of one-handed, yeah.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible, so I think it's definitely going to be good for our depth. Now, I actually want to talk quickly about Jake Long. I know that he went to Denver, and I read some reports saying that he wasn't, or that the Denver Broncos weren't looking to take on anyone else. They were going to stick with the rookie tackle, and I think a sophomore tackle or something. I wasn't too sure. But I was wondering if you guys thought that was a good sign for us to maybe pick him up. I mean, I know nothing's set in stone. I know you guys don't like going by the reports that much. So,
well, look, you know what? The good thing, Dom, is that Tom Coughlin mentioned during his press conference that he was brought in, so we can't talk about it. Tom Coughlin did recognize that he was brought in. So there's interest. The Giants have done their due diligence. Obviously, nothing's happened yet. Let me put it this way. If Jake Long is healthy and he can play like the Jake Long we've seen in the league for a long time, there's definitely great use for him on this roster. Now, what his health situation is, who the heck knows? We don't. Only he does, and the Giants medical staff and whatever other teams have looked at him. So it's just a matter of whether or not he checks out medically. If he does, you know, there's a reason the Giants are bringing him in for looks, because they think he can't help them if they're healthy.
I think to add a couple of crumbs and clues to what John said, remember a couple of things. Coach Coughlin did say he was progressing. He did use that word, progressing. So that's somewhat of an optimistic sign for Mr. Long. And then the other thing is, he didn't sign with anybody else. So if he's progressing and he's still unsigned, I suppose the door is still open.
And by the way, one of the teams he reportedly visited before the Giants, the Falcons, went out there and signed a different offensive tackle. So that's something else to note. All right, Don, what's your prediction?
All right, now my prediction, I think I will be very happy And I think maybe it might be a bit optimistic if we go 11-5. That would be my prediction. If you can mark me down with that Sharpie, Paul, that you used the other day for that other call, that'd be great.
You're going pen, Dom. I don't have a Sharpie. You're going pen, but it is on the wall. 11-5, and this is on August 1st. All right, pal.
Sounds good. All right, fellas. I'll listen to your comments off the air. All right, great show. Have a good weekend. Enjoy training camp. All right?
Thanks, Dom. 11-5 is optimistic. It could happen. Certainly it could happen.
Who knows anymore?
Well, no, you don't. It's the NFL. Giants can go 13-3 or 3-13, depending on how the season goes. Where that goes.
You know, I think to be honest, I'm really against making those kinds of predictions until you get to the final 53. But I have told people that I do think the Giants are going to be in the playoff conversation if everything goes well.
No reason.
And all
for
of the questions are answered in the positive light. I do think the 10 wins are certainly possible for this team, but I'm not going to nail down a prediction right now.
Hey, look, we've been talking about this all offseason. The Giants have just as much talent as the other teams in the NFC East. If everything goes right, they stay healthy, and things come together, there's no reason they can't be right there and be better even than the Cowboys or the Eagles and the other teams in the NFC East. But you know what? Number one is staying healthy. Number two is getting chemistry and playing well together as a team, and that's when it starts in training camp. And finally, it has begun. Second practice today, by the way, at 2 o'clock. Come down. Now, I want to note something. Autographs now after camp, practices are over, are only for kids with the current players. When they're going to come over, there's a special kid zone, and kids can go in there and sign autographs.
12 and under, right?
12, very good. That, Dave, that's correct, right? 12 and under? Correct. So if you're bringing a kid, they can go in that kid section. They can get their autograph, but autographs moving forward will be for kids only. Just keep that in mind. However, and I looked into this because Andrew on Twitter asked me, and it was a good question. The alumni that are here during practice will sign for adults. So the current players are for kids only, but the alumni who are set up during practice will sign for adults. So just two things to keep in mind if you're coming down to practice today. Kashawn is in Maryland. Kashawn, how are you?
John, I've missed you so.
I've missed you too, Kashawn. How are you?
Good. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hey.
Kashawn has not missed you, Paul.
I am disappointed. Like,
that's all right.
I am so upset. I read that my birthday is tomorrow, and I had planned to come to training camp. And I'm already, you know, I'm a disappointed fan because training camp is no longer at the University at Albany. We no longer have the two-a-day practices. And now you're telling me, people who don't have children, and I don't, that now I can't get a picture with my current Giants players. I have to sit at in a bleacher far, far away in Never Never Land, and then for an hour, I'm not coming up there. That's a waste of gas money. I could watch the practice on the website. I don't know who's in charge of player, fan, personnel, or whatever, but they're doing a terrible job.
Kashawn. No, hold on. Leave her up, Dave. It's fine. Yesterday, I'm sure you saw the news, and I can't really give much more of a comment on that because the Giants said what they were going to say. But, you know, there's issues with people getting very overly enthusiastic to get autographs and to get interactions with the players. And in order to make sure everybody stays safe, these rules had to get put in. And that's all I can say.
Yeah, but I read the article. I just don't know why they could have did something where they did like a rope thing, you know, or, you know, make a line. There was probably another alternative.
Well,
anyway.
I'm only going to say one more thing about this. The legends today, and it's a pretty good group, George Martin, Rodney Hampton, and Sean Landetta. All fine Giants in their own right. So, as John said, if you're an adult, you get to get the Legends autographs.
And that's today. And tomorrow, you have Jeff Fiegel, Sean O'Hara, and Rich Seibert, who are of the current-day Giants.
All Kashawn, popular guys.
Do you have any comments on the team itself, Kashawn?
Yeah. I was going to talk about I'm not going to make my prediction yet, but at least my concern is, and I want to watch during training camp, I want to see how the offensive linemen play. I really hope that the Giants do sign Jake Long just for depth purposes, not necessarily to start, but just – I always get nervous this time of year because I just feel like our players are made out of glass. I hate training camp with a passion. We just lose players. And so I think if the offensive line can protect Eli, I know they were okay last year in pass protection, but if we could run the ball more effectively, I think that's going to be the key to our success because we already have the wide receiving talent. But I think if we can, you know, create, you know, a charade and run the ball when people think we're passing, I think that's going to go light years for this team. So I really hope that offensive line gels together. I'm still nervous for Ereck Flowers being a rookie on the left side. It's just unfortunate that Will Beattie had to tear his pec. And, you know, and as far as the defense, you know, JPP, I'm really disgusted with him. I don't understand what's going on with him and his mind and what he decided to do. And I think that if the Giants' pass rush can just be adequate, and because JPP wasn't a great pass rusher. He was great against the run, but he was so-so in the pass. If they can stop the run and just get a little bit of pressure, I think the defense will be fine. We just can't avoid injuries. So I'll be calling you guys, but just disappointed to hear about the new training camp news. But great show, guys. Thank you,
Kashawn. Appreciate it. Look, and I think you hit it on the head with the offensive line. A lot of people worry about protecting Eli. And obviously, look, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of protecting your franchise quarterback. Obviously, extremely important. But I think where you really want to see the offensive line come together, Paul, is to get a more consistent running game, because that helps the passing game. That opens everything else up. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but obviously it's a very important key for Tom Coughlin this year to get that running game going.
Well, you know, I think what I'm real interested in seeing is how all of these new parts on the offensive line, and I'm calling them new, but in reality, even though a couple of these guys have been here for a while, it is new. John, we said the other day, five guys playing at five different spots.
Not one guy's in the same spot as last year.
So as much as coach wants that to happen, it's going to take time.
Absolutely.
And any of us who sit here and expect over the first even month of the season to see 150, 160 yard rushing outputs, not going to happen. Not just not going to happen unless guys are breaking 50 yard runs off and you know, chunking up yards that way. It's not going to happen. I would just hope that somehow, some way, by the time they play Dallas in week one, John,
yes,
that Tom Coughlin has five starters in five spots that he is extremely confident in, that in a short period of time, potentially within a month, they will be the rock-solid guys he can count on, and he knows he can go to call a running play at any time, including down inside the five-yard line. Man, shotgun at the three just makes me nuts. I can't even begin to tell you how nuts that makes me. Because you get down there at that three-yard line, and Eli's dropping back like that, too many bad things can happen. You just got to pound it in. And so, let's see.
Ask Pete Carroll about that. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say hello to AJ in South Carolina. AJ, what's going on?
Guys, no. I want to talk about the James Jones signing.
Sure.
That's a good addition, another veteran wide receiver. You know, so the young guys, I hope they don't hurt Washington and Davis and Parker chance of making the team.
Well, I'll say this. If, as John and I described earlier, six is the max, I believe.
And by the way, I thought it was wrong for us to omit Preston Parker from that conversation, too. Especially because he's really the next slot guy after Cruz.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Parker, Washington, and Davis,
yeah,
to me, are fighting for one spot. I mean, that's the number six spot. I just don't see any way you could keep seven wide receivers
now
on the roster.
The trick is that if he gets through, could you risk trying to stash Davis on the practice squad? Does he make it through waivers?
And, of course, we're all supposing these guys are healthy.
Of course. You know, last year we had 10 cornerbacks in the five spots, and all of a sudden half of them were caught by the middle of August.
Yes. Yes. So, hey, the good news is the Giants may have a problem cutting their receivers to get down to the 53.
Yes.
But the bad news would be if they lost a guy or two, but then again, that would also make it easier for them to decide who to keep.
What else you got, AJ? Is that it?
I want to talk about Matthew Quarles. Ain't he injured? I think I heard he was injured yesterday.
Who's that?
Matt Quarles.
Oh, Matt Lacoste? No, he very minorly turned his ankle after one play, but he was back in two snaps later. He's
nothing
fine.
Of significance.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it. I bet you this is what happens sometimes when, you know, some of the reporters, look, it's their job. I'm not criticizing for them. If that's what the newspaper wants them to do, they got to do it. When you do, like, the play-by-play of practice and somebody just sees one of your tweets and then they don't see your tweet 3 minutes later, they say Lacoste back in. All they see is Lacoste hurts ankle, and that's when you run into some issues.
Yeah, it's totally, totally what somebody once said to me in the business. It's micro-reporting.
But again, that's what these guys are being asked to do by the newspapers.
Yeah.
I mean, they want them to do it. You got it. As you well know, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You got to do what the boss tells you, whether you like it or not.
You know, I prefer the analysis angle rather than telling every single person about how somebody just had to blow their nose 15 seconds ago.
You know what, though? In fairness, there are a lot of fans out there that can make it out to practice, and they really want to know the details of what's happening. But
I get it.
It's just the way the world works now, my friend.
You want to run through a few of these?
Yeah, sure. Real quick, because we got four people on the line.
Oh, all right. We got a bunch of backed up ones here.
Yeah, go ahead. Real quick.
All right. We got Giants Nation says James Jones is not a specials guy, so we must keep Harris and Davis. No choice there. Just flat out omitting any of the other guys, Parker or Washington.
Well, at least you can appreciate the fact that he's obsessed with special teams.
And Coach Coughlin is going to put a premium on that, too.
Yes.
No, for sure about that.
But again, if you have a lot of other guys in different spots that can make up for maybe an absence of another special teamer and wide
Casillas.
Receiver, maybe you could get away with that. But again, it depends how the rest of the roster construction
Casillas,
works.
Casillas, Thompson, you know, they got a couple of guys
exactly.
They brought in
for
specials. Miles also. Let's see here. We have here Ricker 81 says, is Jones a lock? Does this mean Washington Davis fighting for the sixth spot? We've addressed that. Allie Hubbard says, definitely like what I'm hearing about Jones. This wide receiver competition is going to be fun. And by the way, Allie, I got water right here. She's always after me about the Gatorade. She says, you got to mix your liquids.
The way your metabolism works, I don't think we're going to have any problems.
No, not at all.
No.
With a strong season, both Washington and Davis, can you believe Davis will slip through the practice squad, says Ricker? You mentioned that.
You know, I even see the tweet, but I think it's a great question. And the funny thing is, you almost hope that he doesn't really show up and blow up now in preseason games, so you might have a better chance of slipping him onto the practice squad.
Yeah.
It's funny how that goes.
Trey Anderson, so many people out here feel like we got the best fan base in the world. I guess Giants camp, he's probably going to be coming out.
By the way, I should point out that the fans yesterday were phenomenal during practice. You know, every
Very
time Victor
so.
Cruz or Odell Beckham caught a pass, they were going bananas. So you guys did a real good job being enthusiastic during practice.
Okay, then I guess we have the hustle. This hustle says, silver lining, with the competition for PT
playing
at
time.
RA. Oh, playing time. Nice. Playing time at right end. Flowers will face the best that Selvey, Wynn, Moore, and Ayers, etc. have to offer. So I remember a couple weeks back.
You know what? I forget. Where was Ayers or Wynn left or right yesterday?
I thought
Ayers was left, Wynn's was right.
Yes.
I thought
as
so
I
too.
Remembered watching
I remember
it.
That as well. Okay.
And that is, I have to tell you, because we did talk to Dave Tollefson recently on the show. The other day we talked to Kevin Booth on the program, and they did say that, you know, the veteran defensive linemen are going to try their best to coach up Flowers because he's going to get a ton of looks beginning in that Cowboys game. And the more things that those veteran defensive ends can do to him now, the better off he's going to be.
Hey, the one good thing about that Cowboys game right now, unless he goes to the courts and does something else.
No Hardy.
It looks like no Greg Hardy. It's the last thing you want is Greg Hardy lined up across from your rookie left tackle. So that certainly is very, very good news. Let's get back to the phones. We have another 25 minutes until we have to wrap our show and get out to practice. By the way, practice once again is free and open to the public today. Come down if you like. 2 o'clock, East Rutherford, New Jersey, Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Autographs with Giants legends for everybody. If you have kids, they can get autographs with current Giant players after practice. Who are the two groups going today, Dave? Neil, do you know the two autographs groups going today? Can you check that
out? I got
for
it
me?
For you. I got it for you right
you got
here.
Got it right here, pull it out.
Yeah, we just called up on this little electronic gadget known as a laptop.
Yeah, my internet's not cooperating. Oh, we got linebackers, tight ends, and fullbacks. So, John Beeson, Devon Kennard, Larry Donnell, JT Thomas, Henry Hanoski. Get out there and, you know, you can get some autographs. And then tomorrow, by the way, is quarterbacks, running backs and kickers. So you get the Eli autograph
yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, and your legends tomorrow, as John said before, Fiegels, O'Hara, and Richie Seibert.
And remember, today, Landetta, George Martin, and Rodney Hampton.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, by the way. This is a special opening weekend camp edition. So we're going to be back tomorrow at 12:30 also, John.
Correct. Absolutely right. And then we'll be with you every weekday at 12:30 until we come back from Cincinnati. Then we're going to have to shift the time back to 11:30 because practice is later and all the media gets screwed up. But we'll continue throughout the camp as well. 201-939-4513. Jason's up in Maine. Jason, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great, Jason. How are you, pal?
Great. Hey, I had a question for you. I haven't heard much about Jeremy Miles. I'm wondering what you guys can tell me about him as far as the defensive place is. I mean, I know he's from the Ravens and he came over. I'm just wondering if you could tell me what you can tell me about him.
You know, he's learning a lot still. He's not probably near as in-depth into this defense as everyone else that was here during the spring. Obviously, he's still kind of learning on the fly now. Considering he was with Spags in Baltimore, that's giving him a little bit of a leg up, but it's still a different overall system. So he's learning. He's a veteran. He's been around the block. He should be able to help in the coverage area a bit, I think. Right now, I believe he was out there with the third team with the safeties, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he's somebody, as he gets more experience, I think you'll see probably get a little bit more time in camp to see what he's got, Paul.
During his career, he's also been a pretty decent special teams
Correct.
Player.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Okay. Can I just ask you one more?
Yeah, of course.
Just wondered, sometimes, you know, when you watch the preseason, you kind of hold your breath when the starters go out there because the last thing you want is for them to get hurt during the preseason.
Yeah.
Do you think Coughlin will approach this any different this year with all the injuries that have taken place in the past? Do you think that he'll have them play maybe a little bit less?
Honestly, no.
How do you think he'll approach it?
Paul's laughing. It's not happening.
Well, you heard the question yesterday, right?
I did, yeah.
Somebody specifically asked about Beckham and Cruz in that vein and said, do you worry about play-by-play? Do you cringe? Do you make sure those guys get up and stuff? And Tom said, hey, when you got to play, you got to play. Now, with those two guys, they are holding snaps back, okay? They're not getting the whole load. But when they're out between the sidelines and they're snapping the ball,
got to play.
Everybody's got to play. And you know why, John? Because how many thousands of times have you and I heard it over the years we've covered football? Players will tell you, if you go out there and you're afraid to get hurt, you are going to get hurt. You can't let up. Now, that's one of the reasons why I'm so much against this flag football training camp that the new CBA implemented, John. Because it is so light. It is so tissue paper thin, the way these guys are playing. Is it any wonder that there are so many injuries? Seriously, I know it's almost
counterintuitive.
So, yeah.
I know.
It really is.
But you have to get ready to be prepared for contact when it comes. That's the trick. But you don't want to be overprepared because then you get hurt while you're trying to prepare.
I've said it a thousand times.
So how much
times
do you prepare? It's a good question.
The many, 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 many two-a-days that they were doing clearly was too heavy. But flag football, video game football, Xbox football they're doing now, too light. They should have found the happy medium. But the players' union wouldn't let them do it, John.
Well, it was all part of the negotiations. That's how it goes. Those are the rules. And frankly, I think it helps some players, specifically the veteran ones, and I think it really hurts the young players that are trying to make an impression and get as many snaps as possible.
Although veteran players who are faced with coming back off an injury,
right,
even though you'll say, well, physically, isn't it better to be? No, because they do need the work. And quite frankly, anytime you have a coaching change or a coordinator change, you need the work.
201-939-4513. Mark is in New Jersey. Mark, what's up?
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing great, Mark. How about you?
Good. I want to talk about James Jones signing. I was actually really excited when I heard they had signed him because I think it'll add a element of leadership to the wide receiver corps because he's done it for so long, and he's been with Sam McAdoo in Green Bay, and I think that will helps younger guys such as Jeremy Davis and Corey Washington.
Mark,
as well,
you know what? You're
absolutely in the
you're absolutely right, Mark. And
I think the other thing
it does too. He's a really serious guy that studies. You can just tell by his personality and the way he talked today. He's studious. He's very serious about the game, and he's very mature. So I think having another guy that's been around the world here and you know in NFL land can only help a guy like Odell Beckham and the other young guys get together. So I just think his veteran presence and his seriousness and his study habits, I think that'll rub off real well too. I couldn't agree more.
Right. And the other thing about the camp battles, now the three I wanted to ask about, I mean, it was really early, but you never know, would be Akeem Hunt, the running back out of Purdue, Matt LaCoste, the tight end, and Vinnie Curry, the safety that they had got.
Justin Curry.
What do you think their chances are of making the roster?
It's Justin Curry at safety. Vinnie Curry is the Shakes' guy who tried out a linebacker 2 years ago. Sorry, Shakes.
Aaron Curry.
That was Aaron Curry. Vinnie Curry. Yeah. Vinnie Curry, I believe, is a defensive end on the Philadelphia Eagles, who was a first-round pick three or four years ago, if I remember right. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
You're right. That was Aaron Curry. My bad. Anyway, Justin Curry at safety. He's rotating in and out with the threes and fours right now in the safety rotation.
Yes.
I like his physicality. He seems to be very, very straight towards the ball, so that's somebody to watch. I know Paul's a big Lacoste guy, so I'll let him give his spiel on him.
Well, I mean, here's the bottom line. Lacoste proved he could block really well in college, but until they get the pads on, John, which, by the way, the first padded practice is on Wednesday of the week coming up, until we actually see him do that at this level, and even though it's the practice field, you still want to see him do it. I will start to feel even better about him. Right now, I'm strictly working off the fact that he looks like he's got good hands, looks like he runs pretty good routes, certainly has the frame, has the mentality. Enjoy talking to him. Good guy and loves the game and eager to learn. In a lot of ways, reminds me of Kevin Boss.
And also keep an eye on
his mentality.
And keep an eye on Will Tye also. He's another undrafted free agent and led tight end that will be competing with Lacoste for a potential spot.
And Cunningham was also in that mix, too.
Oh, Jerome Cunningham certainly in that mix. Absolutely.
But anyway, I'm projecting, based on what I saw on the tapes, that Lacoste is going to handle the physicality of the blocking game well. But we need to see it.
And then finally, Akeem Hunt. We didn't see a ton from him in the first practice, but, you know, he's a guy that could be a potential guy in kickoff returns that could help you down the road. To me, Akeem Hunt is the perfect guy if you want to slip him onto the practice squad. He's
exactly.
a guy that was an undrafted rookie free agent. He can come in and help you on special teams if somebody goes down to elevate him. He can provide a little bit of a scat back element at running back if a guy like Vereen, say, gets hurt at some point during the season. To me, Akeem Hunt is the perfect, in every way, practice squad candidate to be your Giants practice squad running back.
I totally agree with that, and I'm going to go even one further. He's great to run the quarterback read option on your scout team.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then I got one more question.
Yeah.
Now, I did hear that they were going to sign OCU a one-day contract to have him eventually retire. Do you think that maybe there's any way that they sign him to a one-year deal if he doesn't work out?
You know what, Mark? It's funny, and thanks a lot for the call. We'll see what happens with that. There haven't been any announcements made. But from what OC has said on Twitter, and I'll just go by what OC has said, it sounds like his playing days might be over.
He has had some television interviews. I was with ESPN a couple of weeks ago. I believe he did 2 or 3 days
he
up there.
He went there and did some studio work for
the He was really, really good.
Now, OC's one of your guys, so you're a little biased.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Paul just wants as many Giants in the seats at the networks he can get.
Well, hey.
You already got a lot of them, man. They're all over NFL Network. You got Strahan on Fox. You got, obviously, you know, Kevin Gilbride did some NFL Network stuff, too.
He's now working with us.
He is.
On Northeast Conference College Football. And, you know, a history lesson for you folks.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Back in the 60s, they nicknamed this franchise Maritech. And the reason was because guys like Gifford and Summerall and Kyle Rode and Al DeRogatis, they were all leaving the playing field as Giants and going into the broadcasting division. And that's because all the networks and all the stations here in New York just couldn't wait to get their grips into a Giants player as soon as he was done playing and throwing him on the air. So, again, it was called Maritech. Well, Maritech continues. It's stronger than ever.
And don't forget about David Deal doing games on Fox. He'll be working with us this year as well.
Yeah.
Sean O'Hara, NFL Network, he'll be doing work with us as well.
Beagles.
So, Jeff Beagles, of course.
Raul Alegre's on ESPN Espanol or ESPN Deportes.
Oh, is he really? I didn't know that.
He's one of their TV guys on Monday Night Football.
Excellent.
Gary Reasons, the former linebacker's down in Texas doing college games. There are Giants all. Mayock.
How about your boy Chris Palmer doing college football?
Love Chris Palmer. Great guy, offensive coordinator for some years here with the Giants.
Sammy Madison's doing work down in Miami.
With the Dolphins?
Yep.
He's a Finsider, as they call him down there.
Steve Weatherford's already doing a lot of media stuff in the offseason.
The Giants are all over this business. Maritech dominates. Go ahead.
201-939-4513. Do you need help getting off your high horse?
It's just
you want
so
a little one hand as
just,
you try to
You know what dismount? It is? Michael Strahan. How did we forget Michael Strahan?
Strahan was the first
guy. Oh, did you
guy
say
I
Strahan? I'm sorry. I take that back.
How about your pension? You're so excited to talk about Maritech. You don't listen
to
the words coming
Jesse
out of my
Palmer,
mouth.
Jesse Palmer, Danny Cannell, ESPN. They're all over the place,
oh, yeah,
folks.
I'm sorry. I said Chris Palmer. I meant Jesse Palmer, ESPN College Football.
Oh, I thought you were telling me that Chris got a job.
No, I meant Jesse Palmer. That's
oh, okay.
My mistake.
That's right. Chris is with Buffalo. He
Correct.
Signed with Rex
yes.
Ryan to be assistant coach with them.
I confuse my Currys, and I'm confusing my Palmers.
Jesse, the Bachelor.
Boy. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland on line 3. Leonard, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for doing the Saturday show. Appreciate it.
No problem. And we will be here tomorrow again at 12:30 as well.
Good. And Paul, don't forget Charlie Conley as the original Marlboro man.
Well, again, advertising and Madison Avenue came big time after the Giants in those days.
It sure did. Listen, the Jones signing. I think it's a good one, particularly this time of the season. I think the guy's got some football left, and I think he'll contribute with us. I'm glad we're not thinking about him in the top three, and we're talking about him as a four or a five.
I think
he's here to make this team. I don't think there's any question about
that.
Yeah,
Len, and I think you made a great point, and I should have brought this up earlier in terms of just talent level of players that are unsigned at this point. James Jones might be the best of the bunch in terms of past experience, what he's done in production in the NFL, of the guys that are currently unsigned in the NFL. Jones is right near, if not at the top. So you're absolutely right. I should have said that when we opened the show, but you cannot be more on the money.
And also, Len, we should tell you that the question came up outside to James Jones as to why it took you so long to sign and why didn't you land somewhere else. And he said he had offers from other teams earlier in the spring, but he was kind of picking and choosing because he wanted to go somewhere where he felt the system was going to be conducive to his game.
Absolutely.
And clearly, the McAdoo system works for him.
Well, you know, if you're going to go out, and he probably doesn't have too many years left in the NFL, maybe one more after this year, but, you know, you want to go out on a high note, and he knows McAdoo's system, and that gives him a leg up on a lot of other free agents, free agent wide receivers. Does he have experience in the slot?
I don't believe he does.
I remember him as an outside guy.
Yeah, I think when he was in Green Bay, it was Greg Jennings that moved into the slot, and then Randall Cobb a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think Donald Driver towards the end was one of those possession guys in the slot, too. No, but and again, he did not get asked this question. I have not talked to him yet, but just based on my recollection, Len, I agree with you. I do not believe he has slot experience.
And I will just basically tell you, I didn't see much of the Raiders last year outside of the highlights of when Derek Carr was flinging it downfield.
There weren't a whole lot of Raider national TV broadcasts last year.
No, so I don't know where Jones, and we didn't ask him. We had him for only a couple of minutes outside. I don't know where he was lining up for the Raiders on each and every snap.
But he did catch
73 passes.
Based on his yards per, and he had 119 targets, by the way, or 111 targets, something like that. But, I mean, based on his yards per catch, he might have done slot stuff with Oakland last year, Len, honestly. I'll look into it. I don't think he did.
Just curious about that because you keep thinking about on Harris. I mean, we got him. You know, we got him for one reason. I know we kept talking about him. You know, getting five or six plays from scrimmage and so forth. But we got Dwayne Harris for one reason. The main reason, it wasn't the only reason, but the main reason being to play special teams.
Yep.
And I think we got a good one there. When it comes to special teams. So we'll see how that plays out. Listen, Larry Donnell, haven't heard a mention, which is probably good news. It means he was out there at practice yesterday. I just can't imagine this tight end core without Larry Donnell.
You know what? I mean, Glenn, you make a good point. Remember, he did not really practice in minicamp because of that sore Achilles.
I
honestly forgotten about it, Len, because I never considered it that serious. But you make a good point. As far as we could tell, he was full goal, no problems.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Now, one other question. On the safeties, you said that Taylor and Collins were the ones.
Yes.
Burhe and Miles were the threes. So who was running at the twos?
Twos was Bennett
Jackson.
Do you remember offhand?
Bennett Jackson and Michael Thompson, right? With the
yes.
Twos? Yes.
Thompson was
Thompson.
Limited, though.
Okay. So Thompson was running with the twos.
As far as I remember, because
And, you know, honestly, Len, there's so many guys to you right now at safety.
Oh,
guys
were
coming in and out. So it's hard to really nail down what group each guy was with. But I'm pretty sure it was Thompson and Jackson, right?
And
with the twos?
Jackson was out there a lot. I thought I saw Gordy a few times.
Gordy might have been playing the slot, though.
But, yeah, but you know what? And let me make something very clear to you, too, Len. Spags told us at the end of minicamp that he was going to try everybody, and they were all going to get their reps, and it's going to be an absolute domino effect out there in terms of where they're moving them and shaking them and switching, and it's like a shell game almost.
And then obviously, Len, I know you know this, but a lot of the Giant fans listening might not. There's no designated strong and free safety. It's just left and right, and both guys play both roles.
Right, right. Let me just say something about Thompson. I'm really kind of pleased to hear that perhaps he was running with the twos because, boy, of all their picks last year, that was the one that just –
Again, Len, don't put much stock in that because I could be mistaken because, again, it was such a jumbled mixture out there.
Okay,
I don't want you to mistakenly assume he was with the twos.
Yeah.
I think he might have taken some snaps with the twos, but I'm not sure.
Honestly, I'm with Paul. I think that's what it was, but I don't have it in front – I don't have my notes in front of me. But, you know, let me put it this way. Once you get past – Collins and Cooper Taylor, and they were with the ones yesterday, and I didn't see much. And
even
frankly,
there, it's kind of open.
It is open, but at least yesterday, we didn't see a whole lot of rotation with that one group. They were with the ones pretty much when the ones were out
you
there.
You can tell that.
Once you get past those two, it's a damn mess.
I was just asking about Thompson. He's, you know, I hope he makes it, and I hope he plays well. He's just the one pick. I'm still shaking my head, guys. But, hey, he's a Giant now, so he's one of my favorite players in the NFL.
That sounds like a plan, Len.
Hey, listen, one quick thing on the practices, and, you know, too late to organize it for this year, but I would sure like the Giants to see the Giants do something for season ticket holders, maybe one practice, one area set aside for season ticket holders, just kind of a perk to, you know, the people who, sign up for season tickets and buy the PSLs. And if you know anybody, you can win the suggestion of the week by putting that one into management.
I will pass that along to the parties, Len.
Okay, hey, let's go Giants. Have fun, guys.
Thank you, Len. And I will tell them from Len in Maryland whether that helps you or hurts you. That's what I'll tell them.
Okay.
And let me just warn you, my words and opinion hold no weight. So 0.0. So I wouldn't expect that to do a whole lot. 201. Paul, on the other hand. I mean, Paul can go up there.
I'm not
Paul
even
can just
going
walk
there.
Right into John Mara's office and say whatever he wants.
Sure.
201-939-4513. Oh, boy. I have to leave this guy for last, but I think he's going to be positive. This sounds like – it feels like James Jones is the type of free agent signing that Charlie in Portland, Maine is going to like.
No, he's not going to be happy.
You don't think so?
No, I do not.
I think he's going to like
it. He's going to say he's too old.
See, now, my only thing is that – I think he might complain that they should have used that on somebody else. But let's find out. Charlie, what do you got?
All right, James Jones. I think you're both kind of right. I like the signing if he doesn't take Washington's spot because I think Washington has more upside. I think that kid's going to be a great wide receiver. And if James Jones takes his spot, then I don't like the signing at all.
Okay.
But if he takes Jeremy Davis's spot or – Preston Parker's spot. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
So that's the way I look at it.
You're actually presenting some logic to us, Charlie. Well, you're destroying your reputation.
Do,
you understand?
I do have some logic sometimes. You know. Hey, I just saw this, and there's like the top 25 free agents that are still available.
Oh boy.
So I'm just gonna throw out a few names that I think would probably upgrade the Giants right now.
Okay.
And, the first two they have on there is Evan Mathis, Jake Long. They're the top two. Number five is Brandon Spikes. I think we need a backup middle linebacker for Beeson. Chris Myers, a veteran center from Houston. I think he would be a great backup to Richburg. I think he'd be a lot better than Dallas. Zach Miller is still available, but I think we got enough tight ends. Anthony Collins is also still available. There's also a couple of safeties. One is Bernard Pollard. He's from Tennessee.
Isn't he
still
retired?
Available. He's 31, so he isn't too old.
Yeah, you know, Charlie,
I'm just letting him go because, you know what, Charlie? You could probably argue about kicking the tires on Mathis if you wanted to add a guard and then kick Schwartz outside
but
the
Mathis
tackle.
Mathis also wants to get paid.
He does want to get paid, and I don't think after he got that phone call and found out what the Giants salary cap situation was, he'd want to talk too much. Okay. And the only other guy on that entire list that you mentioned who I would even think about kicking the tires on is Jake Long, and he's already been here twice to get his tires kicked. And so, you know, all the other names you have there, why don't you just take them, put them off in the recycle bin next to your desk, and just worry about something else?
How about Kevin Booth? I would bring him back. He'd be a great, he can play multi-position. He knows the Giants. I mean, he's on the list. He's number 23 out of 25.
All right, now understand something. Again, if you're going to do that, Kevin Booth is a guard. You're going to bring in a guard. You have to understand you're reconfiguring this line.
Well, Kevin Booth's not necessarily going to be a starter,
center.
Though.
I'd get rid of Herman. You don't need Herman.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Giants have two centers. They've got Richburg and they've got Jones.
And Dallas.
And they also have Dallas Reynolds, too. Right. You're not bringing in Booth. Why bring in a fourth center? What are you going to do that for?
No, you bring in somebody who's going to be better. To me, Jones hasn't proven anything yet. The guy's from the CFL. There's never been a CFL player, Paul, and you should know this, offensive lineman that's ever made an NFL
team. Wait a second, though. You just a couple of minutes ago told us about the age factor, and you didn't want to see, you know, Jones make the team at the expense of a potentially explosive young player who had upside. And now you're going to tell me you don't want Brett Jones on the team. But is a young player who might have a lot of upside.
We need veterans on the offensive line. That's what we need. We need guys that can know what they're doing. Just like you were saying, there's nobody on this offensive line that's ever played in the same position that they played a year ago.
Okay, but Kevin
Everyone's
Booth
playing.
All right, Kevin Booth
different.
Though is not going to start for this offensive line unless he's going to be the right guard and Schwartz is moving to right tackle. And I don't think they want to
I'm talking about backup. I'm talking about depth. You know, we've got guys like Herman and we got Mosley that haven't done nothing in 3 or 4 years, and they're still on the roster. I'm saying, you know, bring in a guy like Booth who we know can play multi-positions, that he's been good. He can play guard. He can play center if something happens. And he can even fill in that tackle if you have to.
Tackle, no, Charlie.
So that's all I'm saying.
He's not a tackle. He's not a tackle.
You know?
He's not a tackle.
He played tackle.
Oh, and he will, he will tell you that he is not a tackle.
He's not a tackle, trust me.
Yeah. I know, but, I mean, you know, Jake Long, you bring him in and you bring in some depth.
Wait a second now. Again, Booth didn't play very much for the Raiders last year, so I happen to be a big Kevin Booth fan, but I can't tell you exactly how much he has left. And I would say this. You know that John Jerry was above average in pass protection last year, and he gave you a full season, and he's back here, so they're not going to bring in someone who's going to knock him off the depth chart. You're not going to knock Brett Jones off the depth chart because you just brought this young player in. So you know, there's two guys already in reserve on the inside part of your line, which is where Booth would have to go, that you're not going to take off the roster.
Well, where's Herman? Where's Herman going to be?
I quite frankly don't think Eric Herman is going to make the 53.
All right. How about Mosley? He shouldn't either.
Well, you know what? He was also going into last spring or last summer, supposedly in contention for a starting job, and he was ahead of Herman on the depth chart. Now, it didn't work out. Maybe he's down to his last cat's life, but he's certainly ahead of Herman on the depth chart.
He's got to be on his last life.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, guys. Hey, thanks for doing the show on Saturday and tomorrow. So just keep an eye out for Brett Jones. See if he's standing 2 feet back from the line when he goes in.
Gotcha. Okay, be good. One more thing about Mosley.
He's 2 months.
And you know this during the offseason here. Mosley has taken some snaps at tackle. They do believe that in terms of backup, he has some versatility there to play tackle. Herman is not a tackle in any way, shape, or form.
No, Mosley will not play center. Herman
that's true.
Play center.
Well,
so that's
they got a million of those, though.
I'm just saying that's where the difference is.
Yep.
Mosley's guard out, and Herman's guard in.
In this case, they're probably better off keeping the guy who can also play tackle.
All right, Paulie, before we say goodbye, real quick, one thing you're going to – give me the two, three things you're going to look for in practice today.
Well, today I'd like to see how much Cruz and Beckham do off of what they did yesterday.
Off consecutive days.
Right.
Okay.
Consecutive days,
would
especially with
shocked,
Cruz.
Would you be shocked if they were held out?
I would not be shocked if Cruz is held out. The way Beckham ran yesterday, I suspect he probably gets some snaps.
Okay.
I think the other thing that I'm going to be looking for is, we talked about the secondary earlier. I'd like to see if there is any more continuity, if you will, or if there's a more clearly defined guy who maybe earns some more snaps off of what the coaches saw yesterday.
And by the way, on Monday, we'll hear from safeties coach Dave Merritt, so that'll be very informative as well.
Yeah.
Anything else today, or that's it?
Well, those are the two. You asked me for two.
That's two or three.
Those are my two primary things I'd like to be looking at.
How long is your full list of things you're looking at? About 100?
It's always long.
Now, I didn't get a response from you. Somebody asked on Twitter yesterday,
yep,
out of 10, what's your excitement level at the first day of camp? And I replied, including you on the reply, and I just filled it up with nines until I ran out of characters. I think that was right.
I thought I responded 20.
Yeah, and I thought that was pretty low. It's only 20 out of 10 for you?
Oh, see, I thought that you actually, on a scale of 1 to 10, hit the 9 and got stuck on the button.
No, I literally just thought that was your excitement level out of 10.
Like 9 to infinity.
Yes, correct.
That works. I like that. 9 to infinity.
And beyond. Paul Dottino, John Schmelk, Big Blue Kickoff live on Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 again. Practice open to the public today at 2. Come down. Autographs with current players for kids 12 and under. Autographs with our legends here today. Who are our legends? It's George Martin, Ronnie Hampton, who's the third guy?
Oh, Landetta.
Landetta. And yes, it's Sean Landetta. That is correct.
It is.
Tomorrow you have Seibert, O'Hara, and Feagles that are here on Sunday. Again, practice both days at 2. Come down. Check it out. Activities for the kids. It's a lot of fun. We'll see you out of practice, everybody. Have a good one on Giants.com. Me and Paul, see you tomorrow at 12:30. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.